Hey everyone, I hope everyone is having a really good weekend. Where I am, it is a rainy Sunday morning, which is actually really nice. I don't mind rainy Sunday mornings. I know that I have some people that listen in different parts of the country. And also, I even have someone that listens in Brussels. So I'm sure that your weather out there is probably a lot different than it is here in good old New England, but I am appreciating the rain. So I wanted to talk a little bit today about, I guess, kind of a softer topic. Yesterday I talked about sexual assault and mental health, which is all so important. And I hope that, people took that with a grain of salt. I'm not trying to make anyone uncomfortable or to stir up really negative thoughts in anyone's head. I'm trying to make negative situations in my life turn them into positives. And the way that I do that is I flip it and I look at things differently and I take the good out of things. So it allows me to transform situations that could be, debilitating or could make me really depressed or angry and turn them into something that gives me gratitude. And that is something that I do in order to heal myself and to heal my shadows. I think that I talk a lot about, the big things, which is so good, but someone had brought it up to me yesterday that maybe I need to go back to basics a little bit myself and kind of slow down a little bit and give people an opportunity to maybe catch up as far as maybe not go 0 to 100. So I am going to talk a little bit about the beginning, like the start of all of this. I was very lucky and very blessed that I got a rock bottom. And I say that it didn't feel very much like a blessing in the time, let me tell you. It was awful. Now, in hindsight, I am so happy that I got a rock bottom because it really propelled me into change and it pushed me. It didn't really give me much of a choice. So it was kind of like do or die for me, where I was literally in tears one night with one of my best friends, and I was just saying, like, I don't want to be here anymore. It's too hard. I'm overwhelmed. I can't do this. I just didn't want to be alive anymore. And so that really, really, really didn't give me an option. It was kind of you have to make these changes and you have to change your life and make yourself happy, or you need to, I don't know, die, I guess. I know it sounds awful, but it's like the life that I was living, I wasn't living anyway. And I would never, ever, ever kill myself, to be completely honest. I just really wouldn't. I might like take a vacation and go somewhere, but I just, at this point in my life, I'm past that. And where it did look really good, and where it did cross my mind at the time, I know that, for me at least, I will never allow it to get to that point. That's just not even an option for me, even though it felt very close and it felt very scary. This is what I did. I changed. I pushed myself to change because I would never allow myself to leave my children. It's not, I would never do that to them. And this life is beautiful and I'm happy. I'm here for it. Like I'm here for a reason. I chose to be here. I wanted to be here. The world is literally changing before our eyes right now. And every single one of you guys signed up for this. You wanted this. I don't know if you believe in reincarnation. If you don't, then maybe you don't believe that. If you believe in reincarnation, I believe that, we chose this. We chose to be on Earth at this time for this great awakening because we wanted it and we have front row seats for it, which is really exciting. And every one of us is so special and we all have these crazy gifts and these things that we can offer people and this openness and this love inside of us. And that's kind of, what I'm trying to show people and I'm trying to get them there so that they can feel that and they can feel that just complete bliss feeling that I have most of the time. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. This isn't something that's all the time. I have to work at this and it's becoming easier and easier because it's becoming second nature to me. But in the beginning, it wasn't easy. And let me go back to the beginning, I guess. I'm like rambling on. So the beginning, the end, but yet the beginning, I guess. I got notebooks. Okay, so I literally decided that I needed to just totally go within myself. And I think that a lot of us, we look for, we have these feelings and we look for outside sources to help it. So anytime I would feel alone, like when I was newly single and the kids would be at their father's and I, you know, I was so lonely. And every time I felt that way, I literally had to run to the bar because I couldn't sit in this house by myself. It was just so eerie and it felt so heavy. And I hated it. I hated how it felt to be alone in the quiet because I just, my thoughts and everything else. So I guess like the first step for me was really learning to sit with myself and learning to be alone and learning to not be uncomfortable while being alone. It took a lot of time and it was not something that came easy to me. I think that I have a lot of codependency and I pick people to be around me, not just relationship wise, friendship wise, everything. I pick people to be around me that are going to end up depending on me in some way, shape or form, and they're going to need me. And I think that I was doing that because it made me feel validated. It made me feel powerful. It made me feel like I had my stuff together, when in reality I did not, but I was choosing to be around people that I had my stuff together more than them. So put me in a room with people that, you know, I seem like I have it all together, then it's going to make me feel like I have it all together when I don't. So that was something that I had to sit with, and I had to journal and kind of make myself uncomfortable for a while to get to the bottom of it. And that's kind of what happened. So when you push yourself to be alone, when you hate being alone and you put a notebook next to you, what are you going to do? You're going to write. And that's what I did. I have this notebook in front of me. I have tons of notebooks, but I wrote and I wrote and I wrote and I wrote my feelings down. And it ended up being such a really cool tool that I have now, that I'm able to go back and I'm able to look at my thoughts and what they were and how they've changed. And nothing's changed like too much, but you can see me trying to like process things and going from, you know, I have notes of me saying codependence, like not feeling good. I was talking a lot about, you know, my past and how I kind of got to where I was at the rock bottom. And that's all beautiful. And it's beautiful to write it down because sometimes our thoughts are just so invasive and they're so all over the place. So if we write them down, even if they're a little bit jumbled up on paper, it's usually a little bit better and a little bit more organized. So I would say sitting with yourself is really important, and also notebooks and lists. Lists are really cool. I have written so many of them. I wrote a list in the very beginning of what I think that I need to work on. This list can change. This list can evolve. This is not, you're not pricking your finger and putting blood on the paper. This is something that, you know, you're writing to yourself about things, like be real with yourself, be honest with yourself. No one has to see this list. So you can get down to the nitty gritty. If you feel like maybe your relationship with alcohol is not healthy, but you don't want other people to know that you're feeling that way, you know, write it in your notebook. And that could be something that you're working on. So that's where I would start. I would start with sitting with myself. I would start with having a lot of alone time if you can. If you have children, if you're a single parent, even if you're married, you're able to schedule time with yourself and you can talk to your partner. You should be able to talk to your partner. And if you can't, then that's something you should also look at. But you should be able to talk to them and say, hey, listen, like I am going to be embarking on this journey. What I did actually is I sat my kids down. We had a family meeting. And we talked about all this. And I said to them, I am going to really be working on myself and I'm going to be following my dream. But I need everyone on board with that because it's going to have its ups and downs. And it's going to be hard for me some days. And it's going to take some of my attention away from you guys. It was a hard conversation because I had just stopped drinking alcohol. So I'm not going to lie. I really wasn't very present.
most of my kids' lives. Yes, I've always been a very good mom, and I don't want to discredit myself from that because I am a good mother. I've always been a good mother. However, the level of, I guess, presence changes. And that, you know, when I was drinking, I was half-assing things. Half-assed. I have no idea, but that word. I was doing that. And I was not 100% present, and they could feel it and they knew it. So where I was still taking care of their needs, I was still showing up to events. They were still doing things. When they had spirit days, they still looked adorable. We were still going on vacations. I was still doing things with them. I was still baking cookies. They were still having what they needed for school. But what I was doing was I was looking at the calendar, and let's say on a Wednesday, they had something I had to do for their school. I would be drinking and not present, let's say Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And then I knew that I had to be on point for Wednesday because they had something that they had to do, or I had to do. So I would stop drinking Monday. But boy, oh boy, would I feel awful. I would feel absolutely terrible. So Monday and Tuesday, I knew that, like, I was in it. My stomach was hurting. I was exhausted. I was dizzy. I just was not feeling good at all because I had drank for 4 days prior to that. But if I gave myself those 2 days to really, like, detox and to feel awful, come Wednesday when they had something that they had to do, I was going to be in that kind of manic stage. And that manic stage is after you feel awful for a couple days, you get that burst of energy where you're like, you want that drink so bad, and you're feeling good. So you're feeling like you can have it, but you're not doing it. So I would have these bursts of energy where I could get a lot done, but it was very manicky, and it was very, I was still in my own head about it because I was still thinking about wanting a drink. So yeah, that's what I would do. And I lived my life like this for years. Like, how exhausting. Can we have a moment of silence for me real quick? Like seriously, like, how exhausting is that lifestyle to literally be basing, like, your activities and the things that you're doing around drinking? And I lived that way for years, and I was able to get it together. And I could even go a couple weeks without drinking, where I could get it together for something that I had to do, and I could be on point, you know, like I could do it. But getting there, you know, it was constant, like, those couple of days of feeling absolutely awful. It was a constant feeling that I had. And then those manic days where you think you're getting a lot done, the house is clean and stuff, but, like, I'm not present. I'm still manicky, and my brain's running a thousand miles a moment, and I am wicked, wicked crabby. It's like, don't talk to me. Like, I am cleaning and I'm doing what I have to do, but I am still not here. Please do not associate with me. And that was awful for my children. And so when I came to them with this, this huge idea of me wanting to start a podcast and, you know, really change our lives and do all this shadow work and all these things, I know that they were really, really hesitant about it. And I'm sure it was nerve-wracking for them. So what I did was I gave them a date. I said, all right, let's give it 6 months and let's see where I'm at in 6 months. And that made them feel a little bit safer, I feel like, because it wasn't just an in the abyss thing. It wasn't like, oh, well, this is how our life's going to be and it's changing and deal with it type of thing. I gave them an end. And when that time frame comes, we are going to sit down and we're going to see where I'm at and where they're at. And we're going to figure out what the next step's going to be. And I think that's beautiful when it comes to your family. I think that everyone needs to be on board, and this shouldn't be a shameful thing. This shouldn't be a thing that I'm doing just by myself, because they're getting benefits from this journey that I've embarked on. Our dynamic and our family has changed, and my time is running up. I guess I'm going to have to do a part two to this because I rambled on. So look for part two, and I'm going to keep going with this.